God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text is actually coming from our Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. And the title of this message is Anger Management. I will admit, as the psalmist says in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4, be angry, but do not sin. The implication there is that very often our human nature, when we get angry, that leads us usually into sin. And so, very often we have to sort of develop anger management techniques on how, when anger arises within us, how's the best way to deal with it so that we do not sin and go the wrong way. I will admit for myself, when I get angry, I'm usually the one that usually likes to withdraw all by myself and just be moody for a while. A little grumpy, usually keeping to myself, not causing too many pains or agonies to other people. But there are some other people that, sort of like a volcano. They sort of let things build up, build up, build up, build up. They look rock solid until one day the top blows and everything comes out. Then there are some who, almost like the kick the dog type syndrome. And I am a dog lover, so don't accuse me of beating up animals here, but what happens is they get angry and they want to take it out on usually someone who's innocent. Typically, the dog. Well, in our text for today, we're going to find out about God's anger management technique. Because does God ever get angry? The answer is yes. He is angered every time we sin, every time we are disobedient, every time we try to push Him out of our lives. God doesn't like it. He wants us to be in a loving, caring relationship with Him. But God has a very interesting way of managing His anger. You see, that's why God takes on flesh and blood. That's why we celebrate His birth at Bethlehem on Christmas Day. We celebrate His death on Good Friday. And the reason why we call it Good Friday is because it was good for us. Because that was the day that God took His anger, took His wrath, and poured it out upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. This is why we have a crucifix in our chancel area, to remind us that, yes, God died. He inflicted the wrath of sin for the whole world upon Jesus the Christ, so that we will live. In one essence, you could probably be saying, Pastor, did God just use the kick the dog type method of managing His anger? And the answer is yes. Jesus was perfectly innocent. He didn't have any sin. He didn't have any guilt. But yet God inflicted upon Him the wrath. Jesus, while He was hanging on the cross, said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And there's an answer to that in our text. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, if you want to follow along with me on the back cover of your worship folder, Isaiah writes for the people of Israel and for us today, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to You, O Lord, for though You were angry with Me, Your anger turned away that You might comfort Me. Why did God the Father have to pour out His wrath upon Jesus Christ? Because of divine love. God didn't want to pour out that wrath upon you and me, and if He did, we'd be turned back to dust. For as Scripture says, from dust you are, to dust you shall return. But instead, God wanted to comfort us. He wanted to love us. He wanted us to be with Him in heaven above. And the only way that that was possible because of His anger, because of His wrath, was that Jesus had to pay the price and to suffer that wrath. Because of that, we now have the comfort. Now, the reason why I call this as divine love is, try to do this in your own personal life, and you'll probably sit there and say, Pastor, we can't. Think about this for a moment. The one who has aggravated you, the one who just drove you nuts, you're going to take your wrath and anger that you would have for them, give it to someone else so that you can love them and comfort them, even though they just did something to just drive you nuts. That's not our way of doing things. Our sinful human nature kicks in and says, we would rather lash out in vengeance than to love and comfort them. Fortunately, God's way is a little bit different than our way. So Isaiah here picks up on that theme of God's anger management and puts it into a song, or in this case, Hebrew poetry, which was typically sung. And it's interesting, the background to this is that Isaiah is writing to the people of God who are not having the best of days. It's sort of like having a month of Mondays. They were facing people like the Babylonians and the Assyrians who were trying to muscle in on their territory, trying to infringe upon them, trying to hold them hostage. It just was not good times for them. But yet, in the midst of those dark and dreary days, Isaiah comes up with a song. And notice how he begins it in verse 1. You will say in that day. In that day is sort of a reference into some future time. Not the here and the now. Because you may be suffering here and now. But in the future day, you will say, I give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you are angry with me, your anger has turned away that you might comfort me. Let me just back up for a moment. What happens in our own lives when our anger is now reflected to God for something that He has allowed in our lives? Very often, the only reason why we'd ever get angry with God is because in our mind we have the picture perfect image of our life, how our life should be. And then when something devastating comes into our lives, we're like, God, you just broke up my beautiful picture here. How can you do this to me? Well, there's a theological way of sort of describing this. And we like to call it God's alien work. Not that God's creating aliens, okay? That wasn't what he had in mind here. But God's work that isn't of his nature. You see, God's nature is love. But we have to ask ourselves then, if his nature is love, why do bad things happen to us? And because God allows these bad things to happen into our lives, we call this God's alien work. Not that he really wants it to happen. Not that he delights in seeing us suffer and punishment and giving us punishment. But as a way of testing our faith. Are we still going to believe and trust in God no matter how miserable our life is? The people of Israel at this time were facing the Babylonians and the Syrians. They had every good reason to throw up their hands and be angry to God and saying, God, you don't care for me anymore. So Isaiah says, guess what? Let's come up with this song. Through the Holy Spirit, he says, we have to realize that God's anger was turned away from us, that you might be comforted. I can just picture the people of Isaiah's time saying, how about that comfort here and now? Well, that's God's alien work at action here. We're not going to have all that comfort here and now. True, we've been blessed. But there are going to be times in our lives where we're going to have to put our faith and trust in God, even though we'd rather be angry with God. Let me continue on with our text. Verse 2 begins, behold, God is my salvation. That bold affirmation of faith. I will trust and will not be afraid. Not be afraid no matter what happens. Because salvation has come for me. Better yet, salvation has come for you. And this is why we give praise to God. Because of what He has done for us. Now very often when we start thinking of praising God, I hope our minds come to what occurs here in the worship service, the divine service. Where we thank God in a corporate way. As we do this in a sort of a public way, we come and we say, thank you, God. Thank you for turning away your anger. Thank you for comforting me. Because verse 4 picks up on that theme. It says, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. So basically, we only call upon the name of God. Make known His deeds among the people. Proclaim His name. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Now, what's really beautiful about this verse 4 is it sort of gives us a witness test, so to speak, of hymns, of what we do here in the church. Our hymns should be focused upon what God has done, not what I do. Again, in case you're looking at the bulletin before the beginning of the worship service, and you had a moment and you looked at the sermon title, and the sermon title said, oh, anger management. Yeah, that must be good, because Pastor must be going like through the top 6 ways of how we can manage our anger for better lives here on this earth. Well, as you've already quickly found out, that isn't the basis of today's message. You see, picking up on verse 4 here, the basis of all our messages here at Trinity is to proclaim what He has done, not what you can do. Not how to be better financially, not to how better manage your anger. Sure, we can cover those things. Typically, we could do that in sort of a sermon or a Bible study. But for the proclamation of God's Word, it is what God has done. And this is the reason why we have things like Sunday school. Sunday school is to teach these little ones what God has done for them. Same thing with Vacation Bible School. A week-long emphasis during the summer of teaching and proclaiming what God has done for them. This is what we do in the church, and this is the exact reason why there's a building across the street behind you. Trinity Lutheran School. You see, in this community, we have many early childhood care centers. A lot of them do not teach little ones about what God has done. This one does. The reason why we have this is not to run a business and early childhood care center, but to proclaim what He has done. To make known His deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that His name is exalted, picking up the words of Isaiah here. This is why we come and gather. To receive the gifts of our Lord. To be reminded that His wrath has been taken away. To receive His love and forgiveness. And to bring to remembrance, that's the Hebrew expression, so to speak, of making known. Bringing to remembrance, remembering this, and teaching this to all around. Verse 5 picks this up again. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. The answer is all the earth, and that's what we're doing here. That's what we're doing across the street. Remember, as Christians, we don't just take our Bibles and crawl into some closet and read our Bibles and say, I'm doing my Christian thing. No, Christianity is telling the world what He has done. Not keeping it to yourself, but sharing it. Verse 6 picks this up again. Sing and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion. And we have to ask, who's the people referring to as Zion? Well, in the Old Testament, it was the people of Israel. For today's time, a better way of describing it would be all believers in Christ. All who put their faith and trust in the God who manages His anger, so that we will be comforted, so that we will have eternal life. So we sing and we shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst. And notice the phrase, in your midst. God has not abandoned you, even if you're experiencing that alien work of God in your life right now. But God is in your midst. The Gospels say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of you. God is in our midst because He cares for us. He is providing comfort. He is trying to strengthen us. And He is the Holy One of Israel. The One who is perfect. The One who has redeemed us. Yes, there's going to be times in our lives where our anger will probably get the best of us. And fortunately for us, we have a loving, forgiving God who took out His wrath not upon us. We're not experiencing God's alien work because of our sins. Our sins were paid for when Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But yes, there are going to be times in our lives where we're going to need an extra measure of that comfort, an extra measure of that reassurance that we are loved and we are forgiven by God. And so that's why we come and we gather. That's why we call this the divine service. Because God is the one who is serving us. It's all about what He has done and what He continues to do. So the next time it seems like anger is sort of getting the best of us and our anger management skills seem to be decreasing instead of increasing, let's return to the Lord, as He is the one who managed His anger so that we could be comforted. We ask the Lord to continue to manage His anger for us and to comfort us and to give us strength in the midst of a world that seems to be going in a different direction than we think it should be going in. But we ask the Lord to continue to strengthen us and to keep us safe, protected in His power, in His name. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.